Okay. We'll chant Udila Arna like we did this morning.
Haruna Purabhage Jui Jamane Gaura Amane Jange Bakata Samua Laila Sate Gela Nagara Praje Tatai Tatai Bajalaka Gana kanata e janjero ro Primatala tala sararanga Charane nupura bhaje Mukunda madhava yadava hori Olane bolo re vadana gori Nichedi vavase kero rate Diva shashari lira shaje E manadulaba manavadeho Mayaki koro bhavana keho Eme nama shahi ashoda suta Chame re pori bela je Udita tapana uile asta Dina gilo bole Hoi vyei vyasta Tabe kena webe Alla sa goe Na baja rinoia Praje Jivanat nitcha Janat sa Tak hei nana vina Vipada Bhagavad Namashraya Gauri Yatana to me Takahapana Kaje Jivera Kanyana Sadana Kam Jagataya Se Madhura Naum Avijati Mirat Tapana Rupe Rika Ganehi Virahut She Krishna Namashuda Koryapan Judaya Bhakti Gati vinoda prahan Nama vina kichu naiko ara Chana bhuvana maje Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna 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 Hati Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
His divine grace, Abhaya Chananad, Bhaktivedanta Gosami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Ram Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaya Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Srimati Lasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bol. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budle Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nivashesha Shunya Vadi Paschacha Deja Tarni. So we're reading from the Majjha Lila. Actually, I should check right now. Yes, we are reading from the Majjha Lila. I know that, chapter 1. And starting with text 83. Okay. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Oh, actually, no. So, Om Gana Timurandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So as I mentioned before, reading from the chapter 1. Whoops. Something happened here. Oh. Just one of the other drives here. Let me just disconnect this. We are reading from chapter 1 of the Majjha Lila and beginning with text 82. So let's start sharing the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay. Continuing with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavatera Shloka Gudartha Vishara Karina Rupa Goshani Shloka Kaila Loka Bhujhaina. In one verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for the understanding of the general populace. So No, Sanskrit. Yate lilarasa parimalo gari yanya parita danyakshani vilasati gritta maturi maduri bihi tatrama bhishchatula pashute bhava mugdhantarabhi samvitastvam kalaya vadannola sivenurviharam. The gopis continued, "Dear Krishna, the fragrance of the mellows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forests of the glorious land of Vrindavana, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dancing on your lips and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable ecstatic emotions." So this is a verse from the Lalita Madhava 10:38 by Srila Rupa Goswami. So here we are hearing about Rupa Goswami's realization of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's interaction with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the mood of Srimati Radharani, feeling in Kurukshetra that she, Radharani, who now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is emulating the mood of, wants to drag Krishna back to Vrindavan rather than be with him in Kurukshetra, because in Kurukshetra Krishna is in the mood of a king, and there's elephants and there's horses and there's so much paraphernalia. But she wants to be with Krishna in the intimate abode of Vrindavan. And so Srila Rupa Goswami, understanding the verses spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Rath Yatra and when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dealing with Lord Jagannath, reflected the meaning of those verses at showing he understood Manobishtam. As we quoted the other day, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam, that Srila Rupa Goswami understood the mood, the mind, the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami is called our Acharya. We are Rupanugas. Rupanugas means followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. So he wrote what Prabhupada considered to be the law book for the Krishna Consciousness Movement, which is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also another preliminary law book, which is the Upadeshamrita. The Upadeshamrita talks about controlling the senses, talks about the impediments in devotional service, you know, things that really keep you from achieving devotional service, things that help you achieve devotional service, all the way up to the highest understanding of Radhakund. And then Rupa Goswami also wrote other literatures like the Ujjala Nilamani, which is the postgraduate study of the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Also, he wrote many plays, like the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava, in which the pastimes and bhavas and rasas and siddhanta is presented in the form of a dramatic performance. And this is our Vaishnava history. Of course, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his famous work, Jiva Dharma, he basically illustrates the what we call the Dashamula in the form of a story. Dashamula means the 10 basic points, principles of devotional service, which are inseparable from devotional service, by which we judge everything else. It's called Dashamula. That means 10 roots, basically. Okay, so text 85. Hey, Mata Mahaprabhu, Deki Jagannate, Subhadra Sahite Deke, Vamsi Nahi Hate. In this way, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath, he saw that the Lord was with his sister, Subhadra, and was not holding a flute in his hand. Tribanga Sundara Bhaje Rajendra Nandana Kahanthava Hevancha Bhade Anukshana. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful. His body curved in three places. The Lord's desire to see that form was always increasing. Radhika unmarayai che udavadara darshane utkurna pralapa taiche prabhura ratri dine. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. So this unmada madness is not ordinary madness. It's called divyonmada. It means transcendental madness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked inconsistently, almost like a crazy fellow, he was in the transcendental ecstasy of love. In the highest transcendental ecstasy, there's the feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. When the enchanter and the enchanted become separated, mohana, or bewilderment, separated or bewilderment occurs. They say when the enchanter and the enchanted become separated, mohana or bewilderment occurs. Right, okay. So when so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned. And at that time, all the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifested. When they are manifest, one appears inconceivably crazy. This is called transcendental madness. In this state, there is an imaginative discourse, and one experiences emotions like those of a madman. The madness of Srimati Radharani was explained to Krishna by Uddhava, who said, "My dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the groves of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus, she has become like a crazy woman." So, of course, you see the perverted reflection of this in the material world. I was just hearing the story again, which I've heard many, many times before, about Sripad Ramanujacharya. And the story is as follows, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'm just going to tell part of the story that illustrates material madness of someone in love. Once upon a time, I got so ecstatic I knocked off my glasses. Anyway, so once upon a time, Sripad Ramanujacharya was with his disciples bathing in the lake by Sri Rangam, and there was a man there, and there was Dhanurdas, and he was with his girlfriend. And this man with his girlfriend was walking backwards. Why would someone walk backwards? Usually you walk with your girlfriend hand in hand. Anyway, he's walking backwards and staring at her eyes. Just staring. His eyes were like fish's eyes. They didn't blink. Of course, they probably blinked. But anyway, just like the gopis, they cursed Brahma, the creator, because he created eyes that blinked, and that meant they couldn't see Krishna for an instant. And they were so upset. That's how much they loved Krishna. Anyway, so this gentleman, he was looking at his girlfriend, walking backwards, because he didn't want to miss a moment's glance. A moment's separation is like 12 years or more, or like a yuga cycle. And not only that, but he was holding an umbrella over her head so the sun wouldn't touch her beautiful hair. And so he was staring, staring, staring. And of course, the brahmacharis, like they usually do, thought this was quite funny. You know, here's a guy in Maya. And they started laughing. And Sripad Ramanujacharya, the great acharya, he said to the brahmacharis, "Stop laughing. You got to be compassionate. He had a vision in his mind, seeing this person who was an absolute Maya. He saw him and his wife as devotees. So that is a Vaishnava's attitude, especially Uttamadhikari, and of course the higher stages of Majjhimadhikari. So he saw them actually as devotees. And they were devotees, but they were covered up. Anyway, so he sends his servant to them, and the servant says, "My Guru Maharaj, Sripad Ramanuja, would like to speak to you." And so the man humbly goes up, because he's cultured, you know, even though he's with his girlfriend, he's still a culture. Nowadays, someone who's with their girlfriend doesn't have any culture, does any sort of thing anywhere in any place, like dogs. Anyway, so sorry about that one. So anyway, so this man, Dhanurdas, he walks up to Sripad Ramanujacharya and says, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, what can I do for you?" And Guru Maharaj, that is Sripad Ramanujacharya, says, "Why you stare in her eyes? Why you entranced like that?" And this gentleman, he said, "Because she has beautiful eyes." See how entranced someone can become in this world? It's a true story. It's a historical story. So anyway, so he, and Ramanujacharya, instead of just, you know, just berating him, like most devotees would do, they would say, "That's nonsense. You're not the body. You're just a bag of stool. And your girlfriend is just a bag of stool, mucus, germ, bile, air. Yuck. What are these eyes anyway? It's ugly." Which wouldn't have worked. I mean, you can tell a man who's in love or a woman who's in love that their beloved is ugly, and they just get angry and they get more attached to their beloved. So it doesn't work. As we mentioned, you can't do a don't. You can't become detached from this world. There has to be a higher taste. So, interestingly enough, he had a strategy. And he said to this man, "My dear sir, can I show you someone who has more beautiful eyes than your girlfriend?" And this man, Dhanurdas, said, "Let's go for it." And Ramanujacharya basically took him by the hand or met him later. And they went into the temple of Lord Ranganath. And when he saw the eyes of the deity, boom! Like Krishna has the most beautiful form, Tribhanga Lalitam. Threefold bending form, beautiful lotus eyes. I mean, nobody has lotus eyes like Krishna, except for Radharani, right? But you understand, no mundane conditioned soul. And the eyes like Krishna's described like lotus petals, not round like our eyes. Our eyes are just like round little marbles. So his eyes, I mean the eyeball is different, but like the shape of the, outside shape of the eye. Okay. Like lotus eyes, like lotus petals that go really far out. They're just beautiful. And perfect mouth, perfect nose, everything. So when he saw Krishna's eyes, he just fell in love with Krishna. But you may say, what about his poor girlfriend? Well, his poor girlfriend also fell in love with Krishna. Because his girlfriend was also a devotee. And they got married. And they were such good devotees, they were more detached from this world than the brahmacharis were. I guess I should tell that story. It's an interesting story. Because one day the brahmacharis, the very proud brahmacharis, who were just living in an ashram, and, you know, they thought, household, da 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 da. Like, it used to be like that in ISKCON, anyway. So the brahmacharis were thinking like that, and they were saying to Ramanujacharya, their spiritual master, "You know, this Dhanurdas, he's so attached, Grahastha, his wife has jewelry on her. He's so attached." And Ramanujacharya decided, "I'm going to show these brahmacharis something." who was actually detached. So he had a trick. So in the middle of the night, when all the brahmacharyas were sleeping, he arranged that their belongings, because in those days, you know, it's not that people had a big room with closets and everything like that. All the belongings they kept by their head. That's brahmachari life. That's how I lived for years. All the belongings I had in this world could fit in one cardboard box. And there'd still be room for other things. All the belongings I had in this world. And now I can't even fit all my computers in one cardboard box. Just see. Phew, terrible. So anyway, so the brahmacharis, they were all sleeping by their belongings, by their head. And so Ramanujacharya arranged that everyone's belongings were switched with others' belongings. You know, there's a switch, switch, switch. So the brahmacharis woke up in the morning, and some of them were sannyasis too. They woke up in the morning, and then they looked at each other and accused each other of stealing or misplacing their belongings, and there was a fight. You take my belongings. You tried to trick me. Rah, rah, rah. And Ramanujacharya had to break it up. And he said, look, now I'm going to show you how attached you are. Well, that proves how attached you are. And now I'm going to show you how detached this particular couple is. So he instructed one or two of his brahmacharis to go over to the couple's house while he was preaching to the man, Dhanuradas, and steal the lady's jewelry while she was resting. So the lady was resting, because they were married at that point, anyway. The lady was resting, and brahmacharis took all the jewelry off of one side of her body, and she turned over. And they got scared. Actually, she turned over so they could steal the rest of the jewelry, because she was thinking they need the money in the temple somehow. Then Ramanujacharya told his disciple Dhanuradas, go home to your wife right now. And he told the brahmacharis to watch outside the window to see what was going to be said between the couple. All right, so Dhanuradas gets home and he sees his wife with half a body of jewelry. And he says to his wife, you know, why do you only have half a body of jewelry? And she says, the brahmacharis took one half and I turned over so they could take the other half. And then this man, he's chastises his wife for disturbing the brahmacharis. He said, you should have just given it all to them or just remain still so they could figure out how to take the rest of the jewelry. And when the brahmacharis saw that, they understood that they were more attached to their little belongings, their cardboard box. Of course, there wasn't cardboard boxes in those days. But their pile of belongings that they kept by their head. It's interesting. Really interesting story, because this couple was attracted to Krishna. They were crazy for Krishna. So you have a choice. You can be crazy for Krishna, or you can be crazy for Maya, the things of this world. That's it. One or the other. That's a duality. It's a choice, Maya or Krishna. Maya means the absence of Krishna. Krishna's the sun. Maya's the darkness. Where there's sun, there's no darkness. Anyway, so that's a very interesting story about renunciation and proves the point about a higher taste and also proves the point about how one needs to become crazy for Krishna. And if you're not, you'll be crazy for Maya. If you're a woman, you'll be crazy for a man. And if you're a man, you'll be crazy for a woman. And if you're, let's say, greedy, you'll be crazy for money. Like Uncle Scrooge. Okay. So, on that happy note, let's continue. Interesting story. It's good to have stories. Dvadashavatsara sheshai chigunaila. Emata Shesha Leela Trividane Kaila. The The last 12 years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were passed in this transcendental craziness, thus he executed his last pastimes in three ways. Sanyasakari Chavishavatsara Kuila Yeye Karma Ananda Paratara Ke Janibe Marma. For the 24 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order, whatever pastimes he executed were unlimited and unfathomable. Who can understand the purport of such pastimes? Udesha karite kari dig darashana mukya mukya lilara kari sutra ganana. Just to indicate those pastimes, I'm presenting a general survey of the chief pastimes in the form of a synopsis. Pratama sutra prabhura sannyasa karana Sanyasakari Chalila Prabhu Sri Vrindavana. This is the first synopsis. Synopsis, of course, means a summary. After accepting the sannyas order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded toward Vrindavan. Clearly, these statements are a real account of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of the renounced order of life. His acceptance of this renounced order is not at all comparable to the acceptance of sannyas by Mayavadis. After accepting sannyasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach or reach Vrindavana. He was unlike the Mayavadi sannyasis who desired to merge into the existence of the Absolute. For a Vaishnava, acceptance of sannyas means getting relief from all material activities and completely devoting oneself to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-255, famous verse. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yataram Upayunjita Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Muchate. So this phrase of Yuktam Vairagya, which here is written Vairagyam. Vairagyam means it's the same thing. Uchate is known. So one nirbanda Krishna sambande yukta vairagyam uchite means that one understands everything's connection with Krishna, and therefore one understands how everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service, or not a stone unturned. So there's another phrase which is Phalgu Vairagyam. Phalgu means false renunciation. False renunciation means basically where one says, I give something up, but you never had it to give up. For example, let's say if you have a job for a very rich man and basically you're his chauffeur, it means you're driving his car. And you say, I renounce this car. That's stupid, because it's not yours to renounce. So that's called Phalgu Vairagya. And with false renunciation, you actually still have an attachment to things. But with real renunciation, let's say Krishna gives you a nice car, if you're fortunate. With real renunciation, you use the car in Krishna's service. You don't get the car and then just enjoy with it. You use it for Krishna. That's real renunciation. And bhoga, or enjoyment, in opposition to the Lord's service, means you take the car and you just try to enjoy it outside of serving Krishna. So there's bhoga and tyaga, which are both material. Like we have this Bhukti Mukti Siddhikam Sakalaya Shanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Ataeva Shanta. Because if one desires Bhukti, that means enjoyment of this world, Mukti, liberation from this world, that's a Phalgu Vairagya, or cities, powers, like yogic powers, then one's mind will always be disturbed. But Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, that if one is a bhakta of Krishna, he's nishkam, he doesn't have any lust. So even if he comes across what's the most desirable thing in this world, he uses it for Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya prays, for example, in the Shishashka. What is it? Nidanam, Najanam, Nasundurim, Kavitam Ba, Jagadish, Kaumaya, Mama Janmani, Janmani Shri, Bhavatad Bhakti, Huit, the Gitway. Says, I don't want any followers. I don't want any money. And I don't want any beautiful women. Doesn't want any ugly women either. So anyway, so Lord Chaitanya is praying like that. But that means a devotee can pray like that, but he doesn't want these things for himself. Like Prabhupada said, you could take a picture of him bringing in money and spending it on Krishna, building big temples for Krishna, distributing books and printing books for Krishna, glorifying Krishna. We want money. We want men and women, handsome men and beautiful women, and ugly men and ugly women too. And we want plenty of followers of Krishna consciousness, not followers of us. One shouldn't think, oh, I have so many followers, so many disciples of mine today, so many will be more tomorrow. He is my enemy, I've conquered him. That's demoniac mentality. So a devotee wants those things for Krishna. Let's see what happens with it. Therefore, get up and fight. In other words, false renunciation would be, you know, I give up everything. Yeah, like Arjuna was ready to do that. I give up everything because it's so difficult. But Krishna said to him, as Prangavina says in quoting the Bhagavad Gita, therefore get up and fight. Win glory, conquer your enemies, enjoy a flourishing kingdom, etc., etc., etc. So, yukta vairagyam. We're not interested in phalgu vairagya, but nirbandha Krishna, somebody seeing things in relationship to Krishna and using them for Krishna. And that is Krishna conscious. Anashattasya vishayan yataram upayunjita. So Nirmanda Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchite, very famous verse. One should be detached from sense objects by using them, understanding what? Isha Pasham Inam Sarvam Yatkin Cha Jagadam Jagat Jena Taktena Punjita Magritha Kashav Siddhanam. What is that? Everything is owned by the Lord. You don't own anything. So it's someone else's property, Krishna's property. Just like once upon a time, there was one great devotee, Sanatana Goswami, because he felt he was such a great offender. And I can tell the story right now. He wanted to jump and basically in front of the cart, Lord Jagannath's cart, and kill himself because he felt himself to be such a great offender. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what did he say? You cannot do this because your body belongs to me, the Lord. You cannot do that with someone else's property. Just like if you borrow someone else's car, you're going to be more careful, hopefully, than you are with your car. I know the times that I've actually rented a car, I'm super careful. I examine everything all around before I take it out of the lot. And then I look at it because I'm really nervous. It doesn't belong to me. Of course, if it does belong to me, I understand it belongs to Krishna. So I do take care of it too. Anyway, which is very important. For Vaishnava, the renounced order means completely giving up attachment from material things and engaging nonstop in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So that's a Vaishnava sannyasi. And Prabhupada here is contrasting it with Mayavadi sannyasis. The Mayavadi sannyasis, however, do not know how to engage everything in the service of the Lord because they have no devotional training. They think material objects to be untouchable. Brahma, Satyam, Jagat Nitya. The Mayavadis think that the world is false, but the Vaishnava sannyasis do not think like this. Vaishnavas say, why should the world be false? It is reality, and it is meant for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For a Vaishnava sannyasi, renunciation means not accepting anything for personal sense enjoyment. Devotional service means engaging everything for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, traditionally, you know, if we look at Indian tradition, Vaishnava sannyasis were very, very externally, very, very externally austere. Like Lord Chaitanya, I'll give you an example. He did not lie on a mattress. What to speak of a bed? Oh my God. You know, Jagannanda Pandit wanted to give him something soft to lie on, and he refused. Jagannanda Pandit wanted to give him sandalwood oil to put on his body, and he refused. Of course, there was big arguments at that time. But later on, Swarup Damodar Goswami, not with the sandalwood oil, he actually tore some banana plantain leaves or something like that and put them inside an old dhoti of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so there'd be some softness. But that's how Vaishnavas traditionally lived. When I joined the Hare Krishna movement, we slept on the floor with a mat. There was no question of a mattress. At best, we had a sleeping bag, which we rolled up in the morning. And after we rolled it up in the morning, or we rolled up the mat, we would clean the floor, the concrete floor that we were sleeping on. And that was it. I mean, obviously, it was winter. We had some sort of covering. That was a sleeping bag. But it was very austere. And as far as taking showers, cold water. Cold water. I remember being in New York in the middle of the winter and there was no water heater. It was like having icicles stuck into your body. And that's how sannyasis lived. And their shoes were, if they wore shoes, they were quite austere. They had this wooden peg you put between your toe and the your big toe. That's not a toe. That's a finger. So between your big toe, I'm just demonstrating because I'm not going to put my feet up to the camera. Between big toe and the next toe, whichever toe that's called. Maybe it's the ring toe. But anyway, you'd have a wooden peg there. I tried those shoes on. Ooh, and Lord Chaitanya used those shoes. And you'd have a little wrapper on the top of your body and a gum short or a lungi, which is a little bit longer, on the bottom. And that was it. There's no question of suitcases and suitcases and suitcases of things. Of course, the books were carried by a sannyasi's assistant, and the books were actually palm leaves. So they carried that. You know, that was the one thing, instead of a computer. That was important. And writing implements. So the sannyasis were very, very austere. They were prohibited from crossing an ocean, getting in a vehicle, wearing sewn clothing. All these were prohibitions in the Vedic literatures. And it was like that for a long time for sannyasis. Basically, until Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to show the mood of Yukta Vairagya, because here we're talking about Yukta Vairagya. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wore sewn clothing for preaching. He went in vehicles. He, not only vehicles, one time he hired a Rolls Royce to go to Radhakund to shock the people there and show them this is renunciation, using things in Krishna's service, Yukta Vairagya. He shocked them by that. Amazing. And, you know, other things he sent his disciples to cross the ocean, which is prohibited for a sannyasi. So all these different things that were prohibitive for a sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya enabled his great devotee, his right-hand man, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to do as a sannyasi. And Srila Prabhupada followed in the footsteps of his divine spiritual master by coming to the Western world, sometimes living with malechas, even showing ladies how to dress with saris, performing marriages. That was another thing that sannyasis were forbidden to do. It's interesting. In the Vedic tradition, it's very interesting, that if you saw a sannyasi on the way to your marriage, it wasn't considered so auspicious. Because the sannyasi was a renunciate. And then Srila Prabhupada, he performed marriages. Not only did he perform marriages, he arranged marriages for some of his disciples. And he commented at the marriages that this is not really sannyasi's business, but it's a higher principle. This is called Yukta Vairagya, in spreading Krishna consciousness. And then one time, I mean, this has happened several times, one time Prabhupada was criticized for coming in an opulent car, I think it was a Rolls Royce. And instead of being, you know, defensive, let's say if I arrived in a temple in a Tesla one day, and the devotee said, nice car, Maharaj, I would have to say, you know, it's not really mine. It belongs to my disciples. You know, I just, it's a present. You know, I would, it's not mine. So I'd have to make so many excuses about that, just to defend my artificial sense of renunciation. But Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was questioned, you came in a Rolls Royce. And Prabhupada said, what do you say? A gold car would not be good enough for the Lord's representative. You imagine the reporters were trying to trick him, you know. You came in a Rolls Royce. That's material. But actually, nothing's material. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Muchate. If something is used in Krishna's service, it's spiritual. Whether it's a microphone. And Prabhupada even had devotees use their Brahman thread, which is considered sacred. Let's see, there it is. To tie up a microphone one time when the mic kept falling from the microphone stand. I mean, if the ritualistic brahmanas saw that, they'd go, ah! They did do that. So Prabhupada was so amazing. You know, a gold car is not good enough for the spiritual master. You know, Prabhupada was just like one step ahead of them. Instead of being defensive about what he was doing, he had faith in the principle of Yukta Vairagya. Very important. Anyway, so I guess I spoke too long. I thought it was very important because this principle of Yukta Vairagya was mentioned there. So we went up to, went from 83 to 91. 83 to 91. Okay. So now we can take some questions from our audience. Let's enable you. Pran Govinda says, thank you for being spiritually dramatic. That's my therapy, Pran Govinda. Because I always want to be an actor, and didn't work out in Broadway. They wouldn't take me as a dancer, so I had to join the Hare Krishna movement. Okay, so let me, joking aside, let me unmute you. Okay, so who wants to ask a question? Question.
Do you actually really want to be an actor?
I want to be in Leela, Krishna's Leela. How about that? all the world's a stage and everybody's an actor, so I want to be in that play. How about that? That's a good answer. Rishikesh! Okay.
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Okay.
I just wanted to understand, sometimes on the pretext of using in Krishna's service, there is a tendency to use it for your own sense gratification. So how do you control that tendency?
That's a very good question. One should think very carefully what one spiritual master would want one to do. I mean, I gave that example jokingly many, many times ago. Maybe you didn't hear it. That once upon a time, I wanted to go hang gliding. And we were going by a hang gliding place, and one of my very sincere surrendered disciples, a very rare case, said to me, Guru Maharaj, I will pay for it. Take you hang gliding. You know, I was thinking, I don't want to spend Krishna's money, but I'll spend some poor disciples' money. So, it's an interesting phenomenon. You say, I don't want to spend Krishna's money. But the disciples' money is not Krishna's money, so I can spend his money. So, that's really, it's just like justifying any damn thing. Anyway, so then I said, really, you'll pay for it? And he said, yes. I was thinking, yukta vairagya, how can I engage it in Krishna's service? And I thought, well, it'll help me chant japa better, because if I'm up there in the air, it's real frightening. I'll definitely be chanting japa as I'm flying through the air. And then I thought, well, maybe that's not enough. Maybe it's not enough. So then I was thinking, maybe if I have a little banner behind me saying chant Hare Krishna as I fly through the air, then that will engage it. Then I understood it was all maya. That I was simply wanting to do something, not because I wanted to please Krishna or spread Krishna. So one has to enjoy, one has to actually examine their motivation. And one also has to judge by the result. If it's going to increase Krishna consciousness and bring other people to Krishna consciousness, then sure, we can spend unlimitedly. Just like, here's another story. Once upon a time, I was in New Zealand, and in New Zealand, there's this interesting thing called the Sky Tower. And many devotees have bungee jumped from the Sky Tower, including some of our leaders. And I got invited, And it was going to be free. And I said, no, I'm not doing that, because it's not, it might have been fun. And then another time in Australia, I got invited to climb the Harbour Bridge. And someone would have paid for it. And I said, no. Another time I was in, where was I? In England, and someone said, do you want to see Buckingham Palace? I said, no, it's nonsense. Said, how will that please Krishna? So that was the standard. So one has to think very deeply how it will please Krishna. We may have impulses to do things. Impulses are unlimited. That we want to do this, go here, see this, see that. But then we should understand whether it will please Krishna or not. And sometimes something is pleasing to us also pleases Krishna. I mean, it does always please us if it pleases Krishna. So I'll give you an example. The other day, let's see if he's watching right now. Maybe not. He is. I was communicating with one person who's situated on an island in the Caribbean. And, I corresponded with him. Actually, that's Andy who's on with us right now. And I said, and I'm thinking, I'm going there to preach. And I would. But then I found out, I looked on the internet, COVID restrictions. So, Prabhupada was like that too. When Prabhupada heard about a person somewhere in some country where there's no Krishna consciousness, sometimes Prabhupada would rush there to preach. Mauritius, Prabhupada did that. Fiji, Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada heard, he met Vasudev, who was previously named Dayoji Apunja. He met him in the airport and in the transit lounge in Suva, not Suva, I'm sorry, Nandi, in Fiji. And he was just one person. Prabhupada asked him, do you have a Radha Krishna temple here? And he said, no. And Prabhupada said, make one. And then immediately he took that as Prabhupada's desire, and Prabhupada visited later on. So Prabhupada was always very enthusiastic to use any little thing in Krishna's service. But if it was not being used in Krishna's service, he said it was useless. I mean, just like Prabhupada, I was with Prabhupada one time when he was touring the ISKCON press, all of our machines for producing books. And we were behind Prabhupada in publication about 17 books. So Prabhupada was looking at all this machinery, and he said, all this machinery is useless if you can't do 17 books in 2 months. Another time, we wanted to impress Prabhupada with, I was also there, with technology. And at that time, we had something called a telex machine. A telex machine means you could type, this is before faxes, before emails, you could type something on a, like a typewriter. And that typewriter would transmit it through the wires to another typewriter thousands of kilometers or miles away, and it would type the same thing. So we type something on it, and then the other devotees eventually type something back. And, you know, like, all glories of Prabhupada or something like that. And then Prabhupada said, that, what is the use? It's simply talk prajalpa. So, you know, technology or the material energy can be entangling. So one has to be careful, to answer your question, Rishikesh. One has to be careful of to see if it actually increases the service or decreases the service, increases Krishna consciousness or decreases Krishna consciousness. So I try to make that judgment in everything I get. You know, whether it's a car, whether it's a car or having my disciples get a car for me, then I have to see whether it increases my service or increases safety or something like that. You know, there's different standards of judgment. I have very, very sincere disciples who got me a very, very nice car to use. It's much safer than any car I've ever had before, and it's also much faster. But that's another issue. So, okay, so any other questions? Everybody's scared of asking questions here.
I have a question for you, Dave.
Which type of injection did you get?
I got the Moderna.
That's the one I got. It's bona fide because it's your guru got it.
Yeah.
All this. Yes, actually, I'm encouraging the devotees to get their vaccinations. The reason I'm encouraging the devotees to get the vaccinations is so they can serve Krishna and don't die. But there are a lot of anti-vaxxers, people against people getting the vaccination, because they make up all these stories that you're going to have three heads. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't mind having three heads. I could do three times the service for Krishna if I had three heads. One head could be sleeping, the other head, two heads could be awake, right? That would be fantastic. Four heads is even better. So what's wrong? What's wrong with a little mutation here and there? No, it doesn't cause mutations. But, you know, the main thing is, I actually published an article in ISKCON News and Dundabuts about why I took the vaccination, why I chose the vaccination, because I saw that it was less risk. You know, we all have to weigh our risks in this world. Everything we do entails some risk, right? Everything you do. Like, for example, the most dangerous thing you can do is to go in the kitchen in your house. It's pretty much equal to the danger of going into the bathroom. Because most accidents happen there, not in cars. Mostly between the kitchen and the bathroom. So who is going to avoid the bathroom and the kitchen? Not many of us. So, or, and I gave the example in the article about car seatbelts. Car seatbelts, under certain circumstances, can cause injuries. However, if you analyze the comparative risk, it's less risky to have the seatbelt on. Just have to analyze comparative risk. So that's what I do. I do risk analysis. So yes, there's always a risk in taking a vaccine. Yes, I'm not denying that. But the risk in getting the virus is far higher. And 30% of the people who get the virus have long-term effects. Like their brain becomes clogged up. Most of your brains are already clogged. So if you double clog your brain, then you have Gober brain. It means you're cow manure in your brain. Now you may have horse manure, but then you'll get the cow. Anyway, I don't know which is worse. So you weigh your risks, like anything else in this world. If you didn't want to risk anything, you wouldn't get in a car. More people get hurt driving to the place of the vaccination than people who die from the vaccination. Statistically. So what do you do about that? Don't get in your car. Don't walk. Don't breathe. Don't eat. Yeah, more people die from foodborne illnesses. More people die from being killed by your wife or husband. So don't get married. Because you know, most violence occurs between family members, not between somebody on the street. So therefore, you know, don't get married. Don't eat. Don't go to the bathroom, and don't go to the kitchen. And then you'll be really safe, except you'll die from starvation. So, on that brief, with that brief introduction, Shruti Priya, you have a question.
Yes, really good. With the whole aspect of judging whether something can be use or increase one's service, like when you're dealing with people who are just coming into Krishna consciousness and like more cultivating them, and they're not so inclined to do every single thing Krishna consciousness, or they find like if they're doing lots of stuff with you, but they kind of, you know, you kind of have to be their friend at a certain age group, like my age group, you know, so is it okay to do things that aren't necessarily go for like a walk, you know, something just like random with them, just to show that you're.
Walks all the time. I go for walks all the time in Maya.
No, but you know, like.
You know, we make friends. You know, there has to be recreation.
Okay.
Probably been said, the devotee needs balance in life, recreation. There has to be recreation. And we make friends. We're not fanatics.
Yeah.
You know, we don't play golf. But, you know, I go swimming. I do so many things. I go swimming when my neighbors allow me to use their swimming pool. That's funny. Which I, They keep it too cold, so I won't go swimming in it. No, that's just joking. They're watching. They're watching. So anyway, so yeah, why not? The main thing is whatever brings us to Krishna consciousness, which part of that is taking care of the body, keeping in good health, making friends, fulfilling our other needs of food, air, water. You know, you could say, why should I breathe if that has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness? Let me stop breathing. Let me stop drinking. No, it has everything to do because this body belongs to Krishna. That's Yukta Vairagyam. That's why we take care of the body. We take the medicine. You know, if you have some sickness, you take the medicine. That's a fact. And you use your intelligence, like I said. You don't go crazy using medicine. At the same time, you have to balance your risks or balance what's best for serving Krishna, what maximizes service for Krishna. So I made a choice to maximize service for Krishna. Take risks. I go in an airplane. I take risks. But I don't take too much risks. I wear a seatbelt. I don't jump out of airplanes. I don't go skydiving because there's no service for Krishna in that. However, if it can serve Krishna, attract people to Krishna consciousness by my going skydiving, I would go skydiving in a second. But according to my logic, it will not help me in my service to Krishna. That's all. That's Yukta Vairagya. All right. Let's see. Wow. It's late. Okay. It's 10 minutes after the hour already. All right. Thank you all very much. We had a good time. And yesterday, if anyone's interested, yesterday we had a really interesting class about Ram. So every Sunday evening, US time, that means next Sunday evening, and the Wednesday following, or Monday morning, South Pacific time, we're going to be talking about Ram until Ram Nomi. So we actually, that class is on YouTube. And my YouTube channel, Beer Krishna Goswami, Das Goswami, or Goswami. And it was last night here, or in the morning for all of you. So you're all in the morning the previous day, for all of you to watch, if you are interested in seeing it. Okay, on that happy note, so we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. We had a lot of people. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.